If you're an e-commerce business owner who is sick of feeling overwhelmed when it comes to social media and wants to learn how to grow strategically, you're in the right place. I'm Chelsea, the founder of Blossom Media. We help e-commerce businesses grow vibing online communities with social media strategies that actually work and won't take over your life. This podcast will bring you the truths about social media and Facebook and Instagram ads, as well as stories and expertise from other business owners in the e-commerce space to inspire, educate, and help your business blossom. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another interview episode. I have a very exciting guest, as usual, on the show. It is Emily from The E-Commerce Dropout, and I have been friends with Emily for quite a while now. I was on her show about 2 years ago as well. She also has a podcast, and she's just doing such incredible things in the e-commerce space, so I wanted to get her on to chat and give all of her valuable tips to the audience. And she has built 4 successful e-commerce businesses by the age of 24 years old and now coaches other women to do the same. And she helps through all stages of the e-commerce journey, from launching a brand from scratch to scaling the business to 10K plus months. So wherever you are at in your e-commerce journey, you're going to get a lot out of this episode. Let's get into it. Hello, Emily. Thank you so much for joining me on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to chat.
Yes, it's been a while. I think the last time we, you know, properly chatted was probably when I was on your podcast, which was a very long time ago now, I think.
Definitely.
Seems like it anyway.
Yeah.
So I love following along with your journey. You're a fellow young entrepreneur, which I love. And you created 4 successful e-commerce businesses by the age of 24, which is insane. And now you coach others to do the same. So tell us all about how you got started in the world of e-commerce.
Yeah, so my journey with kind of the online business space started quite a while ago when I was 15. I started my first online blog. It was a fashion blog called Emily Jane Style. And now I look back at it, I'm like, oh my gosh, that is so cringe. But at the time, it was pretty cool. Like, I taught myself how to do the technology side of it in terms of building a website. And then I was just blogging about like fashion and random things. And it kind of grew quite fast. And I started making affiliate commissions and earning money online. And at the time, I always explain it was like a Hannah Montana situation. Like, I was running this legitimate online business by night, but during the day, like, if any of my friends had found out, if anyone at school had found out, I would have absolutely died. So I was completely embarrassed by it. But now I think back, I'm like, wow, that was pretty cool that I was making money and running a business online at 15. So yeah, that was my, I guess, first taste of the online business world and just the concept of being able to make money online and not being, I guess, a slave to like a 9-to-5 job working for someone else. So that really sparked my interest in the online space. And from there, I kind of did a bit of everything online. I tried, you know, affiliate blogging with other topics and just anything you can think of online. I dabbled in it. I was so interested in it. And once I finished school, I went to uni to study business. And this is where I discovered the world of e-com and selling things online. And I'd heard about it before, but I just had never really looked into it. But the more I looked into it, I was like, I love this idea of the combination of creativity and entrepreneurship, like being able to build a really creative brand that people will love, but also the business side of building and scaling an online brand. So I was like, why not give this a crack, which is exactly what I did. I started my first business, which was called Lucent Bottle. It was selling those glass water bottles with the crystal point attached to the bottom. And at the time, no one else in Australia was selling this product at scale. So I kind of did a bit of market research. I was like, no one else is selling this product. I saw that crystals were really starting to become such a big trend. I was like, okay, maybe this could be a viable product. So started that store, started selling these bottles, really had no idea what I was doing, was very much winging it and learning on the go. And throughout my whole journey of starting and running that first business, I was always looking for people to work with, mentors, coaches, and I really struggled because anyone that was teaching e-com was very much male and middle-aged and promoting hustle culture and just, you know, that whole like Ferrari driving scene of making $1 million a day drop shipping. And I was just like, oh, this is not what I align with at all. So I really struggled to find someone to help me with that journey. But what I did realize as Loose and Bottle, well, I really had exponential growth with that business. Like I was saying, I was completely winging it, but somehow the business just kept growing. And I'm this like 20-year-old uni student, probably younger actually, having no idea what I was really doing. And I was just trying to learn on the go as quickly as I can and keep up with the demand. And what I realized was starting an e-com business is very much a replicatable process. And I was like, I wonder if I could use this same process that I'd learned to start my first business and do it again. So that is what I did. I started my next e-com business selling marble phone charging pads. And again, I think it was just perfect product at the perfect time because wireless charging had just come out for iPhones and marble was like the thing of the moment, you know, that like rose gold marble phase.
Yes.
So yeah, they again, the business just took off quite quickly. And I was really trying to manage both these businesses at the same time. And then for some reason, I decided it would be a good idea to also start two drop shipping businesses on the side, which was less hands-on effort, but a lot of back-end work required. So here I am, this young uni student trying to run these four online businesses, trying to complete a degree. And it was a lot. Like there's a lot of sweat and tears and all of that that went into it. But yeah, the businesses grew. I learned a lot from it, but I was completely burnt out from that process. And I had always had in the back of my mind, like, why is no one teaching this the way that I would love to be learning about this industry? So once I was completely burnt out, I was like, you know what? Like, I think it's time that I'm just going to sell these businesses. I was over it. So I decided to sell all four businesses, which in itself was such an emotional process because it's like selling your baby, something that you've built up for so many years. But I just had this intuition that it was time. So that's exactly what I did. I sold the businesses. And then once the dust had kind of settled with that, I was like, maybe I could be the person to share this with other people. Maybe I could take exactly what I have learned building these businesses and share it with others. So that is what I started to do and 2 years later continue to do now. And I absolutely love it. Like the satisfaction that I used to get selling my own products, I now get that satisfaction seeing my students build their own brands and grow their businesses. And it kind of gives me that a bit of fulfillment as well that I used to get from my own businesses. So yeah, it's really like a full circle journey, but I'm just loving where I am now and being able to share what I have learned with others.
Yeah, amazing. What a journey. And no wonder you're burnt out by, you know, running four businesses and doing uni and all of the other life stuff. That doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. And you mentioned that kind of repeatable formula that you've created to build that successful e-commerce store without, you know, giving it all away. Can you give us an insight into what this formula is and some of the things that are included in it?
Yeah, of course. So the framework that I like to teach my students, I've called it the Start to Sales framework. And basically what it is, it's a three-phase formula and it really just breaks down and I guess simplifies the crucial elements that are involved with starting a successful e-commerce brand. And the reason I created this framework is because I think a lot of people, when they do come into the e-com industry and they want to start their own online business, it can be really overwhelming. And it's like, oh my God, there's a million things to do. So I wanted to create this framework. It was like as just a step-by-step process that people can take and just to kind of demystify the whole process around it and be like, no, it's actually doable for anyone if you just follow these steps. So I'll give you an overview of what the framework, like each step in the framework and the steps involved in each phase of the framework. So if the listeners do have a pen and paper handy or they want to listen back to this, this is pretty much like the, you know, the checklist of things to do to start your online store. So the first phase is phase one. It is the base phase. So this is all about finding and sourcing a product to sell and laying your business foundations. Now, I think we're going to touch a bit further on about how to find a winning product and what criteria falls into that. But I feel like this is where a lot of people get held up because it's like, okay, I want to start an online store, but what do I actually sell? So getting this over and done with at the start and putting the effort into obviously doing it the right way is a really great place to start. So the steps in this phase are, firstly, you want to decide on your method of sourcing and fulfillment. So how you're actually going to order your products, how you're going to ship it out to your customers. So you have to decide between white labeling. So this is basically where you're going to buy a product in bulk from a supplier. They might put your branding and any adjustments that you need onto the product. And then they will send, say, 100 units, for example, to you. You will store those units of the product and then send them out to your customers manually. So that's kind of your first option. The next option is drop shipping. This is where you don't have any physical interaction with your product before it gets to your customer. So basically, you build an online storefront, you fill it with different products from, you can either be the same supplier, different suppliers. You're in charge of marketing and selling those products. But once you do make a sale, you forward that sale on to the supplier and then they will send the products directly to your customer. Now, this sounds quite appealing to a lot of people because you don't have to actually do the sending out of the product. But you also have to keep in mind with something like dropshipping, it can often take weeks and weeks to get to your customer the product. So customers are obviously a lot more savvy with buying online now. If we don't receive our orders in a few days, we're like, where is this at? So that is definitely a limitation of drop shipping. But the next option you then have is print on demand. So a very similar model to drop shipping, you stock your store with, I guess, blank products and then put your own design on those products. And then once you make a sale, you'll send the order to the printer. They will print your design on the product, send it to your customer. And then finally, you can hand make your products. So that's the first decision you have to make, how you're going to source and fulfill your products. Then once you have decided that, it's time to identify a winning product with scaling potential. So this is all about product selection. And then from there, once you've found the product you want to sell, you need to communicate with your suppliers to arrange samples. So this is really important because obviously you want to ensure if you're ordering 100 units of a product that it is perfect. Then once you have received your sample, you need to test it out and negotiate terms with your supplier for your bulk order. So this is just determining how many units that you need to purchase, what the shipping costs are going to be. All of those things come down to this negotiation phase. Then finally, once you are happy with that, it's time to place your bulk order of stock. So this is where you say to the supplier, yep, I'm happy with the sample. I'm happy with the terms that we've negotiated on. I'm ready to pay for you to produce however many units of the product. They will send it to you. And then once you have that process in motion, it's time to get your business foundation set up. So this involves legally registering your business and your business assets. So things like purchasing your domain name, registering your social media handles, things like that. Then you want to set up your finance tracking processes. And I will touch on this a little bit later, but this is such an important one because I feel like so many people overlook this step and it's like, yeah, once I start making money, I'll start doing that. But it is really important to do at the start. And then finally, you want to work out your branding elements. So you've got your product, you've registered your business. Now it's time to create a visual and non-visual brand that is really going to apply to your perfect fit customer. So that is phase one, basically. I know it's a bit of a long list. This is probably the most extensive step you will undertake, but it's obviously the most important because it's going to build the foundations for your entire business. So that's phase one. Phase two is the build phase. So your objective here is to actually build your online storefront. This is where your customers are going to come. They're going to see your products and they're going to make their purchase. So the objectives in this phase are to open your online storefront, and I recommend using Shopify. Shopify is like the goat of e-commerce platforms. It is the only one I use and recommend. So yeah, that is step one. Jumping onto Shopify and setting up your account. And then from there, you're going to customize all your different settings. You're going to add your legal pages, like your terms and conditions, shipping arrangements, things like that, and make sure all of those kind of fiddly things are in place. But the beauty with Shopify is it's super intuitive. So it will guide you through that step by step. Even if you're a non-techie person, it really takes the overwhelm out of that. And then finally, you're going to create a visually appealing website that's optimized to convert your visitors into customers. This means like you don't just want people coming to your store, having a look around and exiting. You want them to actually be prompted to make a purchase. So that's where your aim is here in phase two. And then finally, phase three is the boost phase. So this is essentially where you're adding fuel to the fire and where your focus is on getting your brand in front of more potential customers and then getting those potential customers to actually convert into paid customers. So some things you can do here are use Canva to create really beautiful graphic design content for your business. If you haven't heard of Canva, it's like the best graphic design tool. I'm sure Chelsea will agree. It's
yes.
Super easy. So Canva is a great place to start with any of your graphic design needs. And then once you do have all of those other things in motion, you're going to enter active pre-launch phase. So this is basically where you're building an audience ready to launch to when you're ready to open doors. And the beauty of really putting the work into this pre-launch phase is that when you do launch your store, it's not like you're not just launching to crickets and waiting weeks and weeks before you make a sale. You actually have customers there ready to buy from day one. And then I always recommend using video content to really organically expand your reach and get your product in front of those perfect fit customers that are gonna be excited to purchase from you when you do launch. And then finally, you wanna wrap this up with a neat little bow and establish a weekly marketing routine. And the reason this is so important is consistency. I'm sure we all know by now, especially if you're listening to this podcast, consistency is key. The more familiar your customers can get with your brand, the better. Like they're going to trust you so much more and be so much more ready to purchase from you. So I know that was a long-winded answer, but that is basically the three-phase formula that you need to go through to launch an online store.
My new and improved signature course, E-commerce Brand Builders, is now here. I've run this course live 3 times now, and each time I've learned a lot more about what e-commerce business owners are needing and looking for, and I'm all for adapting and changing, so I've reworked this course into something that can make an even bigger impact. E-commerce Brand Builders combines both of my best-selling courses, infusing social media strategy, organic social media selling, and paid social media advertising to help you connect with and convert your target audience like a boss. Entirely self-paced and delivered via 12 jam-packed modules, E-commerce Brand Builders will help you get confident on social media, feel connected to your business and your customers, and provide you with a complete organic and paid social media strategy that you can rely on time and time again. Unlike most social media courses out there, E-commerce Brand Builders covers everything you need to achieve that all-important organic growth and run successful paid ads. So what are you waiting for? Head to the link in the show notes or blossommedia.com.au and come and join us inside E-commerce Brand Builders.
Amazing. No, that's so much valuable info that I know everyone, I'm sure, will be scribbling down in their notebooks. There's a lot that goes into it. And I think that's what people would underestimate about starting an e-commerce brand or store. You know, they just think it's such an easy, quick thing to do because, as you mentioned, you know, there are those kind of male e-commerce coaches that's saying they started this $1 million business overnight and all of that sort of thing. So it's really good to get an insight into what actually goes into it. And I know you mentioned one of the hardest parts is actually finding that product you want to sell and then actually sourcing and creating that product. What are some of your tips for identifying a winning product?
Yeah, so I think the trap that most people fall into, firstly, is like not even knowing what they want to sell, right? So you're like, yep, I'm ready to start an online store, but you have no ideas of what to sell. So you're just kind of aimlessly scrolling through trying to think of things. So I've got a few things that you can ask yourself to kind of get your mind running and think of potential product ideas. So the first one is you can ask yourself, is there anything in your life that could be improved or made easier with a certain product? And I think that this is where some of the greatest ideas are born, is because people are just going about their daily lives and then they reach a hurdle and they're like, oh my God, this product would solve that completely. And then they make a product to cater to that pain point. And you'll find that so many other people have that pain point as well. So the product often performs really well. So that's the first question to ask yourself. And it's just about being conscious, in your day-to-day life. Like you might be doing something so mundane and that's when your greatest product idea might come to you. So it's just having that in the back of your mind always. The next question you can ask yourself is there a product out there that could be changed to suit a new target market? So there might be something that has traditionally always been marketed towards a certain group of people. However, you might look at that product and think to yourself, with a few tweaks, this product could enter a whole new market. And you often have first mover advantage with this, that if no one else has thought of that, you could be in a real advantageous position here to bring a product that has been pre-existing to a whole new market. And yeah, that can also be a really viable way to think of a product idea. The next one is ask yourself if you have a hobby or passion that you could create a product around. And again, I think that this is where some of the best products come from, because as someone that's so involved in that hobby or that passion, you know what someone purchasing that product would really love to see in it. So you can be really in touch with your ideal customer and know exactly what they want. So that gives you a lot of power when you are designing the product. So I think that that is a really great place to look as well. And finally, can you make something that is traditionally boring better? So the example that I think of here, and it's not necessarily any changes to the product, it's more to do with the branding and positioning, but I always think of Frank Green water bottles. Like they're such a cult thing now, but it's like the product's pretty boring. It's a water bottle, but the way they have positioned it and their marketing has allowed it to grow such a cult following. And another example I think of here is like there's so many really aesthetic dental hygiene brands coming out, like that are creating really cool toothbrushes and toothpaste. And it's like, that's such a traditionally boring product that we just don't even think about normally when purchasing. However, with some changes to the branding and the positioning and the marketing, it becomes this luxurious product that people are willing to invest in. So think of that. Is there anything that is traditionally boring that you could add your own spin on to make it better? So those are some things to ask yourself when you are actually just trying to get your mind running for ideas. So that is a good place to start. And then once you identify a product and, you know, you've run through those questions and you're like, this could be it. These are some things to consider as, I guess, criteria to determine whether a product is actually viable and will be classed as like a, in quotations, winning product. So I would ask myself, do I actually like the product enough to build a long-term brand around it? Because, you know, you don't want to be putting in all this time and effort into a product that you don't actually like and that you can't get around the marketing and you can't passionately endorse. And I know whilst it is a business, your life is going to be so much easier if you are actually passionate about the product, because yeah, like as I'm sure, as you can imagine, I don't really need to elaborate on it. It will just be so much easier if you actually like it. And then you can also consider, is it going to be something that will remain popular in the mid to long term? Again, you don't want to put all this time and effort into building a whole brand around a product and spending all this money to buy the product outright if it's not going to be popular in, you know, a few months' time and you've just wasted all this time, money, and effort. You also want to ask yourself, is the market too saturated already? And this is a really important one because I think people go into the product research phase and they're like, oh, this product is performing really well. I always use the example of teeth whitening kits. I would never start a teeth whitening kit business because they're one, it's, you know, not as popular anymore. And two, there are already so many people doing it and so many people trying to do it. It would take so much effort and so much work for you to stand out and build a really successful business. So you want to look for a market where there is some competition because that shows you that the product is actually viable. Other people are selling it and seeing results. But you don't want to enter a market where there are millions of other competitors and really big players that it's going to be really hard to stand out against. And finally, can you identify a distinct point of difference for your product? So I always say to my students, if you cannot clearly articulate what your point of difference is, why your consumer should perhaps buy your product over someone else's, and you can't tell them like why they should do that, then they're not going to be able to identify why they should either. So you have to be really clear on what is your selling point. And it might be a differentiation of the actual product might be better. It could be your marketing and messaging. It could be your pricing. There are so many different things that you can differentiate on, but whatever it is, just make sure you're really clear on that. So yeah, I hope that they're some helpful tips to get you started at least.
Yeah, very helpful. And I totally agree about the point of difference. And I love what you mentioned about, you know, the product. Obviously, it can still be a good product, but the way you're branding and positioning it and marketing it is really what's going to make it and make it stand out. And I think that's something that people neglect so much. They just, you know, focus on just creating this amazing product, which is great, but then they don't think about, you know, the next step. So really love that you touched on that as well.
Yeah, I love that.
And speaking about, you know, actually launching the product, I feel like a lot of people get overwhelmed by the actual launch strategy of their business once they have found that product and they're ready to go. What are some launching tips you can give the audience?
Yeah, definitely. I think that this, people do, I think too much into it. The real basis of your pre-launch phase is to display your product. You want to be showing people what your product is. You want to build hype and awareness around your launch. And you also want to build connection with your audience. So they're really your main objectives if you want to simplify it. And I'm finding that the best way to do this at the moment is through video content. Like, we live in such a golden age where brands can just take off by using TikTok and Reels. Like, it's such a golden opportunity for people. So jump on Reels, jump on TikTok, wherever your audience is, and start making content that speaks to those launch objectives. So you can switch up your content between making content that shows off your product. And a little tip here is you don't have to wait until you have all your products with you. You can, once you have that sample and your products are in bulk production, use that sample to start making content, you know, jump on trends, trending sounds, and make content that really works with your specific product. But your main objective here is show off your product, show what it does, show how it's different to other products in the market. And you really want to be focusing here on the benefits and unique selling points of your product and really reiterating those. And then with that, you can also share your journey as well. So show the actual process of what it's like starting your store. I know for myself, when I'm scrolling through TikTok, I love seeing business owners behind the scenes content because that is what builds the connection. If I feel like I know the person behind the brand, I know their journey, I feel such a connection to that brand. So that's exactly what you can be doing as well. Get transparent, show the journey of you ordering your samples, packing your first order, building your website, taking your product photos, all things like that are the things that people want to see. And that is what's going to build connection. So that's what you can be doing during that pre-launch phase. And finally, as you start to build some awareness around your brand and build that connection point, that's when you can really start actively promoting your launch date. So you already have some people following along, and now you want to make them aware that you're launching to build that hype and build that anticipation. And the beauty of this is that, like I said earlier, when doors open, you are already opening those doors to a warm audience that are ready to buy. It's not like, okay, I've clicked go live and now what? So I think that there is so much value in that pre-launch phase, but I think if you really just think of it as you want to show off your product, you want to build connection, and you want to build awareness and hype around your launch.
Yes, and I'm such a big advocate of showing that journey and building that personal connection. And I know I love seeing it myself. I see it on TikTok every day, all of these businesses that are starting or, you know, in those startup phases, and they're really giving that insight to their audience into what they're doing, how they're growing, how they're sourcing their products, everything like that. And yeah, it just really builds that connection, gets people excited about it, and makes them feel like they are part of that journey. So then when they do launch, they want to purchase. So 100% agree with that for sure.
Yeah, and I think with like consumers nowadays, we love seeing that raw, unfiltered side of business. I think back in the day, it was like businesses were meant to be very polished and professional, and you know, you never really knew who was behind the brand. Whereas now, our purchasing styles with either service-based businesses or product-based businesses, we actually want that personal touch.
Yeah, no, 100%. Especially when it is such saturated space, the e-commerce space, you need to be able to, yeah, stand out and have that personal brand in some way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, I'm going to fast forward a bit to those people that have been running their e-commerce business for a while and are in that kind of scaling phase or ready to scale. What are your recommendations for how they should do this?
Okay, so I feel like this is such a big question. Yes. But I guess to simplify it, you want to look at it from two angles. In order to scale, firstly, you need more people to know and like your brand. And secondly, you need to nurture and value your current customers and those people that are already in your audience. So what I'm finding at the moment is the best way to draw new attention to your brand is through organic content and strategic paid ads. And obviously, Chelsea is the expert in this area, but and I'm sure she'll agree, like, I'm not talking about paid ads when you're starting out and, you know, you're just, because once you add a paid ad spend behind, you know, not great content, it's not going to end well for you. Mm. This is really something that you need to undertake when you already have your organic content on lockdown. It's, you know, your audience is engaging really well with it and loving it. And then you can start adding some ad spend behind it to get that visibility. So I think whether you want to use Facebook ads, Instagram ads, TikTok ads, whatever, you know, try them all. It's up to you. But first, make sure that your content is really good to coincide with that paid component of your ads. And then once you have started getting your brand in front of more people, then the best way to nurture your current audience, I find, is through email marketing. So if you can focus on building those avenues of one, attraction with paid ads and organic content, and then using email marketing to nurture your audience. So this is checking in with them weekly. That could be a new arrivals email. It could be a bestsellers email. It can be all of these various campaigns. Or it can also be automated flows. So automated flows are your emails triggered by certain actions that your customer takes, whether that's adding to cart and not checking out, whether they haven't purchased in a little while and you're sending them a re-engagement email to invite them back, perhaps with a discount. Or another flow that I really love to use is the VIP flow. So that is really a nurturing sequence where you're rewarding your most loyal customers, say the customers that have made over a certain amount of orders or spent a certain amount of dollars, you're creating this really personal connection with them. You're identifying and acknowledging them and saying, hey, we see you, we see how loyal you are to the brand, and we want to reward you in return. So that sequence in itself is such a great way to really nurture those customers, but also nurturing in terms of just being visible to your audience, showing up repetitively in their inbox, obviously not in an annoying way, but just making your products easily available for them to purchase and check out. So yeah, I kind of like went off a bit of a tangent there, but I would say paid ads to attract a new audience and a really good email marketing strategy to nurture your audience.
Yes, I love a combination of those. And obviously paid ads is the nice shiny thing that everyone wants to do, but email marketing is so, so powerful. And especially when you have built that audience and, you know, you need to nurture them and get them coming back as repeat customers, I don't think you can go past email marketing to do that and increase your revenue.
No, and I think one of the big mistakes people make is getting so caught up in the idea of bringing new people in all the time, which is great. And I think that people think paid ads is a good fix for that, which obviously it does work. However, it's like once those people get into your audience or become a customer, there is so much value in actually putting the work into nurturing them, because those are the people that are going to purchase every time, you know, you make it, you launch a new collection or run a sale. So you're actually getting a lot more value per customer than rather than always focusing on just bringing new people in all the time.
Yeah, no, so true. And that's what I think to scale and to have that long-term successful e-commerce business, you have to be able to do that, because if you're just paying and focusing on new people all the time, you're not going to be able to really grow and, you know, have that really loyal customer base.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, like, even to go on a bit of a further tangent about it, it's like that actually builds your brand, I guess, brand value by having those super loyal customers, because they're your community that are going to be telling their friends about you, buying your presents, your products as gifts. And then it, I guess, it builds your brand substance and brand, you know, I guess authority as well. Like, I'm trying to think of the right words to use, but yeah, there's such holistic benefits to that as well.
No, I totally agree. I agree with everything you've said, and you've given such valuable information. I know I've learned so much from this episode, so I know all of the wonderful listeners will have as well. And you do have a few different programs for e-commerce businesses at different stages of their journey. Can you tell us all about how people can work with you?
Yeah, absolutely. So I have two main programs that I run for people at different stages in their e-commerce journey. So my first program that I run is called the Start to Sales Blueprint. This is for people that have not yet started an online store. They're wanting help with things like choosing a winning product, building their website, creating their business foundations, doing their pre-launch phase, all of those things that I spoke about earlier in the episode. That is what the Start to Sales Blueprint covers. And then my other program, Ecom Empire, is kind of like the graduate program slash older sister sequence program after the Blueprint program. You don't have to do the Blueprint program first, but it is for e-com store owners that have already started their store and they're really wanting to scale to 10K plus months. So in that program, we look at more of the advanced things like paid ads, email marketing, influencer marketing, all of the things that are more advanced for those that have their foundations in place, but they're like, okay, it's time to scale this business. So I have both of those programs, but as well as that, I run my podcast every week, the E-commerce Dropout Podcast, where I give out free information just like Chelsea does. So yeah, if you're wanting to kind of get a bit of a taste, you're welcome to check out the podcast.
Amazing. And we will definitely put all of the links to all of those wonderful things in the show notes. And I'm sure people will definitely go and check out Emily and the E-commerce Dropout. You've given so much value in this episode. So thank you so much for coming on and sharing your wisdom with the listeners.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
No worries at all. I'll speak to you soon.
Bye.